This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Though we have a clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Sean McVay, who, yeah. Tanner, I heard this morning, Mike. He said I look like Sean McVay. I mean, it's not like Sean McVay is this really attractive football coach or anything. So I'll take it. Care to weigh in on that? Or
Tanner's standing right behind me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm supposed to agree with him or disagree with him.
Anyway, Sean McVay and Nikola Jokic, their worlds crossed. Now, why did those worlds cross? Why was Sean McVay in a locker room that Joker was? I don't know. Maybe because the team that owns the Nuggets also owns the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay had this funny story to talk about the get back coach and all this stuff, because Sean McVay's kind of famous for having a get back coach. And apparently that caught Nikola Jokic's attention as well. Here is the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams.
Sean, I remember early on in your head coaching career, you had a get back guy. Do you still have one on staff?
I'm not that much of a dip anymore. You know, where, you know, guy, Ted Rath, that video will never freaking leave me, will it? I mean, I remember, I'll never forget this. This is when I thought, man, I got to really reevaluate my priorities. When Jokic won the first MVP of his career, it was when they had just finished up. They lost to the Suns. I go to the playoff game. They had lost at home at Ball Arena, but I go to the locker room afterwards, and, you know, and Nikola sees me and says, "Where is your get back coach?" And I said, "Golly, this is what the NBA MVP knows me as. I am a failure." So I don't think I need it as bad anymore, but that was bad back then.
I love that story. Now, McVay going to the locker room. First off, there's a couple things to think about there. The Nuggets just been eliminated from the Suns, got swept by the Suns. And Sean McVay saying, I go into the locker room and Joker not only is not hanging his head, he looks up at me like, "Where's your get back coach?" But apparently McVay doesn't have that anymore, Mike. That was a big thing for a while, because Sean McVay basically hired or had a coach that was probably doing other things, but he had him make sure, hey, when I start drifting out too far, you got to get me. It was kind of a joke, but Sean McVay, you can't help but like that, dude. I think Sean's got a future in the media. You know, it takes really, really good-looking people to be in the media, Michael, and obviously, as someone who looks exactly like him, apparently, I know a little bit about that. That's why I'm on radio, I guess. Makes sense.
Good looking, sure.
Michael, can you just compliment me once?
Can we do that? I did compliment you behind your back.
Let's get some Wednesday night football. Patriots and the Seahawks going at it tonight, Mike. Any picks for this game? Any picks that I should think about? Who are you leaning towards here? Tanner thinks that New England's a fraud. He's been saying that. He said that all year last year, even though they were in the Super Bowl.
I kind of agree with them on that.
You agree that the Broncos were a fraud, too?
No, the Broncos weren't a fraud. They were a perfect team.
He said they were schedule merchants, is what the Patriots are. Then I would imagine the Broncos fit the bill of that, too, at least based on what we saw last season.
Well, we will see this February.
We will.
The Broncos are in the Super Bowl and win it.
I mean, there's a chance that they could get to the Super Bowl. There's a chance. There's a chance they could win the Super Bowl. Are they a favorite in the AFC to go represent? I think it depends on who you ask. Seriously, amongst NFL insiders, I was watching NFL Network this morning, and people were making their picks, even CBS Sports stuff, too. Man, I've been liking a lot of their shows in the morning and the evenings. Their college football talk is amazing. There's several guys that believe it's going to be the Broncos. Who was it? I think it was just the Broncos and the Rams would be in the Super Bowl, and the Rams would win.
Well, as someone who is apparently a doppelganger for the Rams coach, how do you feel about that?
The Rams seem like the team to be, and I felt like they were the best team in football last year. Obviously didn't win the Super Bowl, but I do feel like they were the best. Now, little side story for the Patriots. How do they all respond to Mike Vrabel now? Is that even a thing in the players' locker room? I doubt it now. Mike, you were right. I asked you if this was going to linger and if this would bother Mike Vrabel's, you know, mess up Mike Vrabel's coaching of any sorts. My gut feeling now is this did go away. There's still the jokes. There's still people that are going to go in on this, but there's a football game tonight. I don't know that that's a big... Maybe that's a topic of conversation surrounding the Patriots still, but I kind of doubt it. So will that be something? Is this going to be, like, if you fast forward to the end of the season and the Patriots are bad, do we look back and say, yeah, the team couldn't handle all the distractions, Mike Vrabel was certainly preoccupied after everything that had happened. His focus wasn't where it needed to be. That's realistic. I don't think that's crazy to think that, but
the newspaper headlines are already written just in case.
If the season ends poorly for the Patriots, you better believe that some of the blame will be put on what happened in the offseason between Diane Orsini
and
Mike Vrabel.
Diane's going to get more crap. Sucks that she lost her job, but it's her fault.
It doesn't really suck. She did it herself. Drake May, how about this? The Patriots have A.J. Brown, who was a Philadelphia Eagle. I heard this story. I didn't get you the clip, Mike. I was going to, but I didn't. He was on some podcast, both players, interviewed individually. And their locker rooms, Drake May and A.J. Brown's locker rooms, are right next to each other. And there was the podcaster asked Drake May, like, what went into the thinking there? Obviously, new teammate to you. You're right next to him. And Drake May had this long answer. And he's like, hey, you know, I think that maybe putting, you know, key players and key positions, leader groups, things like that, guys they maybe want to gel and lead together, put us together here. He had this well-thought-out answer. They asked A.J. Brown, and he goes, I had no idea where my locker was. I just went to where my name was. And that's it. So it's just the honesty of A.J. Brown in that moment, I think, was great. We'll see if the new beginnings will help him with the Patriots, who still had a good season last year. I mean, dude, he had 78 catches for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns last season for the Eagles. And we were all, it was true, he was disgruntled, not thrilled. He's the 5th player ever with at least 1,000 yards receiving and 7 touchdown catches in 6 of his first 7 seasons. People were sleeping on and forgetting about A.J. Brown. Not me, Mike. You know why? How I can prove that? He's on my fantasy football team.
I was going to say, you put him on your fantasy team.
You know darn right I did, Michael.
Does he have the hot, nasty speed?
He does. It's not all about hot, nasty speed, Michael. But primarily, it is all about hot, nasty speed. If you have you're going
to
win.
The ability to use that hot, nasty speed.
Mm-hmm. Drake May, he was the MVP runner-up last season after leading the NFL in completion percentage, 72%, passer rating was 113.5, and finished in the top 5 in touchdown passes, 31, and yards passing, 4,394. But he struggled in the playoffs. That passer rating in the regular season that was 113.5 was 82.2 in the playoffs, Michael. So, big test for Drake May. How do you respond to that? How do you respond after a rough postseason where your numbers came back down quickly to earth?
You know how you respond to that? Hey, I have a new weapon.
And his name is A.J. Brown. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's your response. Bo Nix's response, well, the players themselves shouldn't say that, but like Bo Nix is a brand new weapon.
Yeah, but
he is going to be a different quarterback this year.
Why are you taking a game tonight discussion to Bo Nix? Why?
I'm just making comparisons. You know, they both have new weapons.
We had this guy that worked here at the station. Anytime you'd bring up a different sports topic, he would always bring it back to the UNC Bears. He would always say, yeah, it's just like what happened with the UNC Bears.
Well, speaking of the UNC Bears, like, wait, they have a new weapon.
The Denver Nuggets just
won
game four of a first round of the playoff game. Yeah, I was really excited. Yeah, you know, it's just like the UNC Bears baseball team the other day. They came up with a big one.
You know, it's just like Jack Zibel. And
look at you go.
His name's hard to pronounce.
You got it. You nailed it. New England has lost four of its last five season openers. Coach Mike Vrabel has a 2-5 record in season openers.
I just remember everybody. The Patriots are always like bad early in the beginning.
They're slow starters.
In season.
They're slow starters. Seattle has won five of its last seven season openers and is 1-1 in week one under Coach Mike McDonald. Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold has won 14 starts and thrown for more than 4,000 yards in each of the past two seasons. The only other player with back-to-back 14-win seasons? Tom Brady in 2003 and 2004. Little notes for you here, Mike. The 28 turnovers for Seattle in the 2025 regular season were the second most in the league. The Seahawks then became the only Super Bowl champion to commit no turnovers in the playoffs. Well, they had a really good running back who picked it up like crazy in the playoffs, who's gone now, and he's in Kansas City. Seattle led the NFL last season, allowing opponents to convert just 32.1% of third downs. So that's a great defense you have in Seattle. Seahawks are -3. Game is at 6:20 tonight, and it will be right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310.
Yes, that's correct.
I kept waiting for you to jump in.
What was I supposed to say?
Promote where you can hear the game tonight. Thanks
Northern
to Westwood
Colorado's
One.
Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thanks to Westwood One. 18 minutes after the hour, Keeling Me Softly, coming up with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Stay in the know.
I drink and I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble, so we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
It is time for Keeling Me Softly, and maybe Sean is keeling over softly because he's not feeling well. He's under the weather today, but he doesn't miss this show. Even when he's in nature walks and grizzly bears are running at him, or he's in a air balloon, he will make time for this show no matter what. And he tells me he's very sick, and we said, dude, that's not an excuse, Sean. It's Keeling Me Softly. You got to bring your A game each and every week. So here you are, Sean. We'll see how this goes.
You get a C-minus today. Last week, you didn't mention jumping into a stranger's Lyft card for a ride share in Atlanta.
Yes, yes.
I apologize for that one.
But we didn't let you off the hook even then. You know, you're like, hey, I'm literally getting in a car.
The driver gave me a 2 stars for weirdness on my account, so I'm going to charge that to you.
I hope that's a real story.
No, my family has been sick. When I got home to a sick wife, a sick kid Monday, and now I have a man flu today. So this is my only public appearance, work-related thing of the entire day. But for you, we will do so. And for the exciting state of college football in this state, we will do so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, and again, hopefully.
We're unbeaten. We're unbeaten, baby.
Unbeaten. Hopefully everybody's feeling better at the Keeler household. And we'll be thinking about you guys. But, Sean, yes, let's start with the Colorado State Rams taking care of the Wyoming Cowboys. Got interesting for a moment, 14-13 to start the third quarter, essentially. But CSU answered. It still felt scary. You know, Wyoming had the three and out, and then after that, they turned it over. From that point on, CSU said, all right, let's put this offense, let's shift it up a few gears. And boy, did they. Haas Haney, 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I think what struck me, I mean, whether you're a CSU or a CU fan, you've got stuff to take away you can feel good about, which is good. And it's a neutral, as we are. You've got stuff you take away from and feel good about. I found it ironic that CSU finally got a 5-touchdown performance from a quarterback after the guy who promised to bring the air raid to Fort Collins left. I know I saw you there, and we didn't get into this in detail, but I just kind of thought, like, that second half at Canvas is kind of what Jay Norvell promised and never really delivered. Really? Honestly, I when you think about it, and that's all I could, and that's someone who, again, I like Jay as a person, full disclosure, and I think Jay's a good coach. And I hope Jay gets another head shot. But I would literally point to that and go, that is what Rams fans, and you can feel free to agree or disagree. That is what Rams fans are expecting. That is what Rams fans wanted, on top of effort and everything else, and certainly to get a rivalry win. And it took a regime change for anybody to see that. So a good start. I mean, we've got a long way to go in all cases. But I think of the two, and I talked about this in our weekly debate with Troy Rank, and it got a lot of traffic, I think, on Monday, Tuesday in the paper. I think CSU's win felt better. I think CU's was more impressive from a computer resume standpoint, obviously playing a Power 4 opponent. But you're a Rams fan, especially given the way that Bronze Boot game went last year, which I remember vividly because CSU looked like they didn't want to be there. And you know, poor Tyson Summers had to kind of carry the water in kind of a no-win situation, and they just never really showed up and looked it. And this was very, very, very different. And I think if you can build on this, if you're Jim Mora, and I expect he will, that's a heck of a start. I mean, you could not, short of a shutout, and there were some wonky things too. I don't think you could ask for a better start if you were Jim Mora.
No, you really can't. And I mean, it was kind of cool too, just seeing Jim Mora Senior. I guess Jim Mora doesn't like to be called Junior.
No, they're not. Yeah, by the way, anybody listening, Denver radio especially, illustrious, hugely popular, hugely respected Denver radio hosts who were on it coincidentally this time, yesterday or Monday, kept referring to Jim Mora as Jim Mora Jr. and Sr. They are not.
They are not.
Technically.
Yeah.
So I just found myself screaming at the radio going, you have 500,000 Twitter followers and you don't know this? But that's
so,
a killer beef.
And again, I've been careful with this because I'm trying not to call that. But what do we call? So there's Jim Mora and Jim Mora.
It's like Jim L and Jim A. I can't rep on somebody saying the wrong thing on air and then they do the same 5 seconds later. I know that our Jim Mora, here's what I know. I know that our Jim Mora is Jim L and he's not a junior. So that much I know. And I believe playoffs, Jim, see, yeah, you got that voice. I didn't think I was going to go.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Playoffs, Jim, and who looked a delightful guy. Was there in the post game? I think every Mora was at the post game. There's like 50 people. Were you there?
I was. Did you not see my post, Sean? I said,
I know. I'm sorry,
Jim Mora walked in. Okay, is that awkward moment? Well, Jim Mora young. I'm going to go Jim Mora old, Jim Mora young. Maybe that's disrespectful, yeah. But that's the easiest way I could do it in my brain. So I'm sitting in the post game thing, whatever we call it, and Jim Mora walks in. Yeah, there we go. And you're the news guy, Sean. I just get on here and rant and rave.
That's fine.
Jim Mora Young walks in, and he's walking toward the stage, getting up on the podium, and he looks directly at me, and he lifts his hand and waves. And I do the obvious, like, hell yeah, man, what's up? I wave, hey, coach, how are you? And then I'm like, and then you could hear him say whatever his brother's name is, who was behind me. He was waving to him, Sean, not me. So then it was this, oh, I was waving at somebody else anyway, so that wasn't even meant for you. And then it was awkward the rest of the way, and I said not to ask any questions.
I've been there. He was not waving at you.
No, he was not.
And that's all right. No, there were like a billion more of us, weren't there? And then I was just amazed. They all applauded and the whole, you know, you groan about that a little bit professionally, but at the same time, you know, you don't get an era debut very often, and you don't get an era debut that goes like that. You know, he's perfect. Jim L., has never lost his first home game as a new coach in the NFL or college anywhere. I think UCLA 1-0, UConn 1-0. CSU 1-0, and I believe Atlanta and Seattle both. So 5-0, if I do the math right on that. So, and basically, I know we want to transition to CU too. They're going to be two, barring something crazy, everybody's going to be 2-0, which hadn't happened since 1994 between the Buffs and Rams.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, let's soak it up. We're back. You know, houses are $100,000. Our budget is balanced. Clinton's in the White House. Let's rock and roll, baby.
And the 90s were just a simpler time, Sean. They were. The television was better, too. So that takes us back to a wonderful
music
time.
Music was way better.
Oh, 100%.
In 1994, movies were good. We are right in between the grunge kind of fading, but it's still there. Alternative is rocking. Kurt Cobain still alive? Yeah, I want to say. We're still doing a really good alternative scene. And then the Spice Girls are about a year and a half away. And Hanson is about 2.5 years away, and it all goes to Hades pretty quick, musically.
Oh, come on, Sean. You don't like a little oom-bop once in a while?
Not that. I liked a little oom-bop at that age, but not from that band.
Sean Keeler joining us, Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. So the Colorado Buffaloes get their win. We talked about that. Well, I guess we didn't talk about that, but they get that win over Georgia Tech.
And by the way, you know, who told you they were going to win?
You did.
I absolutely believe.
Did you stand up after you were all sweaty because you were there in Georgia, and then you could stand up and say, Coach Prime, Sean Keeler here, I believe. Were you prepared to do that?
I did not, because I was busy rewriting a why don't you give the ball to Micah Welshmore column that the last 90 seconds pretty well blew up about the previous 4 hours of work in one stretch. But cap tip where it's due. I gave him a cap tip in print where it was due. That was a heck of a win. And it might have been sweeter than the whole TCU thing 3 years ago.
Maybe.
It did feel like that, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it just had that vibe to me. And the way that they went there, a very different shape, very different offense. I mean, that they got a narrow win, I called. That they got the under and got the narrow win and ran for 180 yards and kept Tech to, 50, 60 rushing yards? That I didn't see coming. I think it was the how that was really, really surprising to me. And to credit to Chris Marv and to some degree to Brennan Marion, but certainly to Marv and that crew, they got it done. And they got it done on the road against a Power Four in one of Deion's old towns. So, you have to tip your cap all around.
Sean, are you ready for I know you're sick, you're under the weather, man, but rapid fire, are you up to this?
Oh, I love it. I'm going to be a little slow, but yeah.
It's okay. Yes or no questions, or yes or no answers to yes or no questions. Here it is, rapid fire.
And now, rapid fire questions.
Fire.
Rapid fire questions.
To ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have.
Oh, there was Arnold for some reason. And in case you didn't know, this is Rapid Fire. Where's my music, Michael, for the second week in a row? Where is the music underneath?
Sorry, I thought that was the old music.
You leave Arnold on there. Mike, in case you didn't know, right, Sean, this is Rapid Fire Questions. That was fun production.
That was so many lasers. One, I need some aspirin.
Right.
Two, it reminds me of the last 4 minutes of the movie The Manitou. So go Google that one. That was literally what that sounded like.
It's a lot going on, and all I asked for last week was we want the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music underneath as you answer these, but we couldn't get that. We got more lasers added to it. So, Sean,
that was way too much William Girdler.
Okay.
Google that one, too. Yeah.
CSU getting the big win over Wyoming. Are we going all in on Jim Mora and Colorado State, or are we still saying, yeah, Wyoming might not be very good?
That's not a yes or no question.
Are we going all in, or okay, are we optimistic? All in, yes or no?
No.
CSU,
but all in is very, all in is very broad, all encompassing.
Is CSU the second best team in the Pac-12?
Yes.
Colorado Buffaloes over 7.5 wins now after what we saw.
Over 7.5.
Yeah.
No.
Denver Broncos win on Monday night at Arrowhead.
Yes.
Wow. Nikola Jokic. I'm going to ask it again because there's stuff going on after stuff I saw yesterday. Nikola Jokic, as long as he's in the NBA, he will be a Nugget.
Yes?
The UNC Bears are going to go up north to Wyoming and beat the Wyoming Cowboys.
No. But, no but.
No but?
Like the cover, like Ed, like what they got.
I thought you were talking about me, no but.
No but, no, I'm hand. No comma, B-T. No.
Okay.
Sorry, yes or no? No.
Okay, how about this? UNC, okay, I'm going to set it up. If UNC keeps it close but loses, Jay Sovell is gone.
No, but.
But it's a Jay Norvell kind of thing. It's, hey, you're not fired today.
It very much is.
Same thing.
I wrote that in the call. Yeah, I think we're deja vu. We talked about this after you guys left in the post game. Me and a few TV types. I think Wyoming, not to interrupt, rapid fire.
I think Wyoming
fans and administrators feel about the Jim Mora hire the way that a lot of CSU folks felt about the Deion hire, in the sense of, boy, that's going to be tough to compete with. So I say that's a compliment to Rams fans.
Yeah. Well, and Sean, don't worry about ruining rapid fire. It was ruined right before it started. So
that's good.
We had lasers and no music underneath.
More lasers next week.
You had a lot of lasers.
Too many lasers, Mike, and too many like rapid fire questions. Where's
the
music?
It was going along with the original score from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Best
of Both Worlds, parts 1 and 2.
It just sounded like the Manitou. And by the way, I recommend to watch the last 5 minutes of the Manitou. You don't need to watch the previous 85 because it won't help it make any more sense.
Well, maybe.
But there's a lot of lasers. It was the kind of thing where Star Wars, there's a 1978 movie, Star Wars was so huge that they just had a Star Fleet firing laser thing for no reason in a supernatural horror movie.
That was exactly what happened.
So that's kind of what that reminded me of. I'm like, what happened? Why are there lasers?
It was too much. Like, by the time the intro gets over, I forgot all the questions I was going to ask. I didn't even know what planet I was on.
Look, the Mandalorian, Grogu, Chewie, and all the droids are dead with that many lasers. Even the stormtroopers are going to hit somebody with that many lasers.
Sean, great work as always, my friend. Get better, and we'll talk to you next week.
I got to save up my strength for Weber State. I've got to build up my endurance for a 34-point spread game.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully we'll do that. Have a great week. Thank you.
All right, Sean. Where's the music, Michael?
Well, for next week, I'll put in a clip from Manitou, and also I looked up William Girdler. Looks like he's a director of a lot of really terrible-looking movies.
Okay, here's the request on Rapid Fire. Too many lasers, too long of an intro, and no epic music underneath it. No suspenseful music underneath it. What's going on there?
How about this? How about a 2-minute open that's all intro?
No. It's like if you should do like a 6-minute intro. If you know anything about radio, which obviously I do and obviously you don't, a quick intro. People don't want to sit through. People don't
want
to sit through 30 seconds every time just to get to rapid fire. And then you got to ease into the suspenseful music and it builds the anticipation of the questions. Mike, come on.
You're just encouraging me to do the exact opposite.
I'm trying to make you be a professional and do great work at your job. That's what I'm trying to do.
I left all my professionalism on my scooter as I rode it in the door.
Please get it back up here. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It's Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one place to go tonight, and to watch the game. The first NFL game of the season tonight, and it is a Super Bowl rematch between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. You got to go to Big City Roadhouse. NFL kickoff. Stop by, watch the game. $3 chips and salsa and $3.50 domestic pints until the game is over. So get over there tonight. Listen to the pregame here on KFKA. And listen to the post game on your way home. Be responsible, but have a good time. Get a driver, and then have the Uber driver pop in the game if you've had too many. If you didn't have too many, then you're fine to go, and you're welcome. I gave you that freedom, that advice. Big City Roadhouse.
Big City flavor.
Yes. Perfect place to go watch the game tonight. I am excited. You know, it's football on the tube on Wednesday night. And you know what else is exciting tomorrow? Night, Michael, we got a Thursday night football game. So we got Wednesday night, Thursday night. Then we're going to have Friday night games. We're going to have Saturday. It's going to be nuts.
Everybody knows that.
And the Thursday night special is back. Mr. Thursday night, my alter ego, takes over the airwaves for, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes. And we make, this year's going to be different. I'm already over 500 in the picks. Already good. Thursday night special is going to go crazy this year. So you're going to want to lock these in. You're going to want to lock them in. I've done my research. I've done my studying. This is going to be an epic year for the Thursday night special, Mike. You got to believe, like Coach Prime says. You got to believe.
I believe.
49ers and the Rams in Melbourne, Australia, Michael. Not Melbourne. You tried to correct me. I roasted you on it because I have an inside source from Melbourne that told me how to say it. So not all, that should give you confidence in my Thursday night special already. I'm the only radio host in the planet that actually knows that it's Melbourne.
Even the people from Melbourne know how to pronounce
it. No, the people from Melbourne know this because there's a player from Melbourne on the UNC Bears basketball team, and he told me you're saying it right.
So
I'm amazing.
There are no hosts in Melbourne.
There are hosts in Melbourne.
They don't know how to say it because you're the only one who knows how to say it.
In America, but you interrupted me like you always do before I could finish. In America. Do they even have radio in Australia?
I don't think so. I don't think they have the internet yet.
I don't even know if they've just... It's just kangaroos and wallabies running around down there.
Yeah, and they got off the wheels, so now they just lost their electricity.
Faith says, between Monday being a holiday, me going out of town and being off work football on a Wednesday, then tomorrow my days are all confused. Yeah, it is weird. Monday was off Labor Day, and then suddenly we have a Wednesday night football game. But why not? It's either that or I can watch the Rockies lose to the Yankees. Okay? Or I could watch one of your nerdy, stupid things that you suggested that I still haven't gotten to yet. I think I'm going to go with football. I'm going to go that route. And I think Derbs and I are both on this. I think the Patriots are winning tonight. Maybe that's just to go against Tanner because he's like, oh, the Patriots, but I think all the noise, like Coach Prime had a bunch of noise surrounding him. They go beat Georgia Tech. Maybe this is the same situation for the Patriots. There's been a lot of noise, and they just want to get after it. And I think A.J. Brown's going off tonight. Yeah.
I think he's going off tonight, but they're going to lose badly.
Badly? Seattle's only a three-point favorite.
I want them to lose badly. Maybe I should say by 10.
Okay. Well, there we go. 48 minutes after the hour. What do we learn? Coming up next. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's here.
I'm telling you, it's here.
The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn on this Wednesday, September 9th? It was really great, not for the circumstances, but to talk to UNC baseball coach Mike Anderson. And what they're going to do with this baseball game is a really great thing for a tragic situation. But Saturday, September 19th at Jackson Field, their Eaton Strong fundraiser honoring Cash Rinker, Jack Dirksen, and Cooper Niter. So really appreciate Mike coming in and gave out his cell phone number. So if you're interested in getting involved, 970-714-4744, because he'd love for you to get involved. You know, they're looking for someone to help out with coffee and donuts out there. 970-714-4744. Also, Jack Zeebelt, man. That's going to be a fun weekly chat with the center for the Bears. I don't know if he's playing this weekend, but hopefully. But he'll be back the next week, I bet, for sure. But we'll see. Maybe he does surprise us and play. Cody Tucker, yeah, it's a big game for Wyoming. Jay Sauvel on the hot seat, Mike, already. Doesn't seem like that long ago he was hired, and here we are. That's how it goes, though. Jay Norvell was there last year. By the way, I didn't even get to this, Michael. Did you know another Norvell was fired? Mike Norvell, Florida State. So, it's going to be weird. Or will be fired soon. Yeah. What did you learn today?
Longer intro, more lasers.
Less lasers.
But definitely a longer intro.
No, shorter intro.
Oh, so shorter intro, more lasers.
No, longer intro. Short. No, wait.
Longer
less
intro.
Laser. My point on Mike Norvell is that he will be probably Mike. There, I don't think he lasts next week.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd get fired after that.
I mean, Yahoo Sports had the rumor like it's a $100 million obstacle to fire him, but the rumors are very loud right now. Very loud.
$100 million.
That's the, I don't know what the buyout is. Very interesting, but I can't get to it right now. But we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's Yahoo Sports, the $100 million obstacle. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.